Can you hear that? Great. Fantastic. So, appreciated the worship selection this morning. You know that we need to want to share our treasure, this treasure that we found. We need to want to share that with those around about us because it's so precious, right? Got the crying out of the way last week. Hopefully. Keep it coming. Yeah. Now, I mean, we found this treasure, and we need to want to share it with everybody we come in contact with. You know, I remember Brother Lee Eckel, a gentleman used to come to our church, and Brother Lee passed away before we moved into the new building, I believe, or soon thereafter. But Brother Lee, he used to say we'd go into the jail ministry, and he would share with these guys that are in prison, and he'd share with them that this book has all kinds of precious promises in it. Precious promises. And that's a treasure, right? Because there's promises in here for us. There's promises in here. And I want to talk to you a little bit today. I bought this book. It's like a note, like a little journal type thing. I bought this thing like, 20 years ago at a Gabe's when somebody was shopping and I just needed to meander around and do something. Joe, you know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. Thanks, brother. But, I mean, I was wandering around and I picked this book up. And what struck me about this little journal was the fact that it has an old compass on the front of it, like that you'd see on a map or that you'd see on an old seafaring map or seafaring charts or whatever. But and right below that it said, enjoy the journey, right? And, you know, we've been hearing a lot about enjoying the journey. Brother Lynn speaks about it a lot over the last 10 years about just enjoy the journey, right? And we've heard various ministries speak about that. But for me, and for me, you know, and we'll get to this in a minute, but, you know, it's we sometimes confuse the journey with the big events in life, right? We got married, part of the journey. It was a good one. We had children, big events and things like that, right? We just came out of youth camp. It's a big event in our life. We look forward to it all year. We plan for it. We act in it. We have enjoy it while we're in it. And then there's the time after, right? And the journey isn't just the big events or the major events or the primary events. It's the in-between. It's also the in-between, right? And that's where we have to take time to enjoy the journey, right? Because these big events are going to happen. Woo! You're going to get all excited, right? You know me, I'm not shy about raising my hands or shouting in the middle of Beth's song where she loses her place or something because I'm shouting or something. No, but I'm not shy about that type of thing. But it's not the big events that we need to focus on those, yes, but we need not to forget about the in-between. Because that's the crux of it. That's the crux of it. Take time. Take time to listen to your wife when she's talking to you about her day. Take time to listen to your husband when he's talking to you about his day. Take time to listen to your granddaughter when she wants you to do, what's she called? Yoga? Yoga? Yeah, yeah. That you should have seen. We should have filmed that. Take time when your grandson's telling you about his fish he caught. Take time when your neighbor wants to talk to you about their grass that's not really grown very well, right? Take that time. Enjoy those moments. When you're in the grocery store and you run into that individual who you have no idea who it is, but by golly, they know you, and they're excited to see you, and they're starting to tell you all about everything. Let them tell you. Enjoy that moment with them. Let them feel that. Because at some point in time, you've apparently made an impact on their lives. So take a moment while you're going through this journey and enjoy the in-between. Enjoy your family. Enjoy the church. Come into this house excited. Come into this house wanting to receive. Everybody don't have to jump up and down like I do. You don't have to shout like I do. But enjoy the journey. Enjoy this in between. Everything's not youth camp. Everything's not conference. Everything's not the special speaker. But everything is good. It's all good. When Sherry wants to tell me about her day, I enjoy listening to it. Most of the time. No, we have to take time to listen. So let's get over to this. Let's talk about this. I had put down here, I wanted to start this with a little metaphor. Life is the in-between, right? You know, not just life is a journey. Life is a journey, but it's also, life is the in-between. It's the little stuff. It's those little times. It's those times when things can get away from you if you don't take time for it. Talked about my notebook. I'll stick to my notes pretty close because I write thoughts down because I'm a writer more than I am a speaker. And I'd just as soon write something as I would to speak it, but I don't want to just read this to you. So we'll work through it. Wow. I already talked about all that, so that's good. Page one. Page one's down. See there? See there? Woo! Glory, this will be over in about 5 minutes. Don't worry. Right. Yeah, so there we go. 1 Kings 19. See there? That's what happens when you have thoughts and they're in there. They just come right out. 1 Kings 19, 1 through 13. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take my life, for I am not better than my father's. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, a cake baking on coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights into Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life and to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in mantle, went out, stood in the entry of the cave, and behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? Now we all know what, or for the most part, we know what happens after this, right? Elijah gets, he finds himself an apprentice or whatever, Elisha, Elijah gets taken up in a whirlwind at some point, and his journey continues, but his journey is going towards an end. But the question that I wanted, can you put that last one back up there for me a sec, please? The question I wanted to ask us is what are we doing here, right? What are we doing here? Because a lot of times we get so caught up looking for God in all the big, but we never look for him in the small. We never look for him in those things that seem insignificant. But where was God? He wasn't in the fire. He wasn't in the earthquake. He wasn't in the wind. He was in the still small voice. And so sometimes, and I do that not to relate so much about the still small voice as much as to relate that sometimes God's in the little things. He's in those things that we might not hear or we might not see. And so I bring us back to that thought process, live for the in-between. Live for the small things, because those small things add up. Those small things add up. Your children, your grandchildren, your wife, your husband, your significant other, your friend, your neighbor, that guy you didn't know at the grocery store. All those little pluses add up, and they make part of your journey. I'm here this morning just to encourage you to believe in his voice and to believe that he's got you in his hand. You know, a lot of times what we're looking to isn't necessarily the good big things, but we're looking back at the things that weren't so good. Or we're looking forward to something, it's not so good. This is coming up, and I'm dreading it. And we allow that dread, or we allow that fear to overtake us. You know, fear, if you have faith in fear, you're believing in fear. I'd rather have faith in him, right? Do you dread the bad things that are coming? Sometimes. I do. Sometimes. Sometimes. Do I worry about the things that have happened in my past? Sometimes I think about that stuff too. But that's wasted time. That's wasted effort. That's wasted energy. If I want to spend energy, I'm going to spend it on the good things. I'm going to spend it on the in-between, the good in-between. Don't dread what's coming. It will eat you up. Don't regret what's behind. It will eat you up. Put it behind you. You know, our God's a great big God. We heard it this morning. He'll raise dry bones. He'll raise dead bones up off the ground. Put sinew and muscle and tissue and cause them to march as an army. That stuff's nothing to him. If we stop putting our faith in fear or faith in regret or faith in our failures to come or behind, let's put our faith in his omnipresence and his ability to take our lives and make something out of them. He's a big God. Every time I stand up here, and I don't stand up that much, but you hear me say, he's a great big God. He's a great big God. He's bigger than we can imagine, stronger than we could ever comprehend, and he loves you more than you can even imagine in your own mind. How much does he love you? How much does he love you? It's immeasurable. His love's immeasurable. You can't measure it. Praise the Lord. Amen. It doesn't take long to get through these notes, does it? Amen. Let's go to Judges 6, start with 6 and 11. This is a long read here, but it's a good read. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abizarite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. I want you to pay real close attention to this as we read through this, because there's two types of faith here, and I want you to try and bring it to you. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." And Gideon said unto him, "O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our father told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." And the Lord looked upon him and said, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" And he said unto him, "O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said unto him, "Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." And he said unto him, "Now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee." And he said, "I will tarry until thou come again." And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, "Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth." And he did so. And then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for behold, cause I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." And the Lord said unto him, "Peace unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die." The Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, "Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. And build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the order place, and take the second bullock, and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down." Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants, and did as the Lord had said unto him, and so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by that day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, "Who hath done this thing?" And when they inquired and asked, they said, "Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing." And the men of the city said unto Joash, "Bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it." And Joash said unto all that stood, "Will you plead for Baal? Will you save him? But he that will plead for him, let him be put to death whilst he is yet warning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one has cast down his altar." Therefore of that day he called him Jerubbaal, saying, "Let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar." Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. He blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher and unto Zebulun, unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. And Gideon said unto God, "If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool on the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and if it be dry upon the earth, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said." And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow and thrust the fleece, wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, "Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew." And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. There was dew on all the ground. Let's go on. chapter 7. That's a lot of reading, but I want you to see this, so bear with me. Then Jerubbabel, all right, who is Gideon and all the people that were with him rose up. When you're reading that, you just skip over that. You know, you just say Jerry. Then Jerry, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them, by the hill of Morah in the valley. Now, we've got a lot more verses to go here, but I want you to pay attention to this a minute. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Now, therefore, go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned to the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people into the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shall thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink, and the number of them that lapped, putting their hands to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down their knee to drink water. Now, I just want you to stop there a second. 300 men. So they went from thousands and thousands of men. So the army was looking pretty good, right? He had a pretty good-looking army. His faith was pretty well built up at that point. And he's pretty excited. Hey, I can do this. I got this. I've been putting my fleeces out. God said, I'm a mighty man. I'm going to do this thing. We're going to win the battle. And then God says, wait a minute. You got too big an army. Too big of an army. What do you mean? I was feeling pretty good about that. Nah. Let's cut it down. Let's do this. So they cut it down. He said, you know what? Still too big of an army. Now, I want you to see this because this ties back to this. Still too big of an army. You know what? Have them go down here and drink. And the ones that drink out of the water like a dog, you know, lap it out with their tongue, those are the ones you get to keep. Gideon's thinking, man, I hope a bunch of them sure do drink like that. And they get down there and 300 of them drink like that. And the rest of them put it to their mouth. So he's got 300 men. Now, the reason I went to that was this. Is I want you to look at two kinds of faith. One's Gideon's, right? He's talking to God. The other is those 300 that are going to follow him. They're believing in him. And that's what's going on in life for us, right? We've got our own faith and our own walk with Christ, but there's people watching us. There's people believing what we say. There's people believing in the way we act. That when you're in the grocery store and they come up to you and they start talking to you and they're smiling and they're excited to see you, and somewhere, sometime, somehow, you made an impact on their life. And you don't even remember their name. Right? You don't remember their name. Now, is that bad for you that you don't remember their name? Now, especially when you get this old. It ain't that bad. And sometimes you'll remember it after you walk out of the store. Sometimes they'll say, old Sylvia over there, and then it'll kick in and you'll know who it was, right? But you've made an impact. And I want you to think about this today. I want you to think about the fact that we can't always look at our lives as being all the big guys, right? Man, I had 17 children. I had 47 grandchildren, you know. I was vice president of the United States. I ran this company, or I ran that company. I succeeded. I went through school. I got me a good man. You talking to your good man? Kidding, honey. I'm kidding, baby. I'm kidding. Jason got me going down that path. See how you get people going down a path? Positive or negative, you can get them going down a path. But your life is full of events, many events that make up the in-between. Gideon's going to have to rely on some influence here, because he's down to 300 guys, and they're wondering why they're the only 300 left, right? Because God didn't say, hey, guys, get down there. If you drink like this, you get to be on my team. Let's go to the next verse. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go, every man into his place. And so the people took victuals in their hand and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Phurah, the servant, down to the host. And thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward they shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Phurah, his servant, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels were without number as the sand of the sea for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came unto a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned unto the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord has delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise, and behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow, and they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place around about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the hosts, and the hosts fled to Bethshitta in Zarath, and to the border of Abel-Maloah unto Tabith. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali, and out of Asher, and out of all Manasseh, and pursued after the Midianites. And Gideon sent messengers throughout all Mount Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites, take before them the waters unto Bethbara and Jordan. Then all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and took the waters unto Bethbara and Jordan. And they took two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb, and they slew Oreb upon the rock of Oreb. And Zeb they slew at the winepress of Zeb, and pursued Midian, and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon and all on the other side of the Jordan. So all that to say this, and that was a lot of reading, but the word's good, right? I mean, come on. If we need to read our word. You got your word in for today. Praise the Lord. So we read this word, and what kind of faiths did we see here? We saw the faith of Gideon, believing in God, God speaking to him, showing him all these signs and showing him these things. And he said, go ahead and take Phurah and go down there and listen. You'll hear what they're afraid of. You'll hear. Those 300 guys are still back there. They still have to have faith in what Gideon's saying. Now they can throw Phurah into the mix. He can say, yeah, I heard it. Come on, guys, go on down. I'm going to stay up here. Right? These 300 guys, there's a different kind of faith. They're believing in what they're being told, what the witness to them is. They're believing in what they're being, what's being shared with them. And I say that to say this, is we can have an experience with God. And when we have that experience with God, it's going to create some kind of faith in us. Right? We're going to start believing. And we're going to have ups and downs throughout life. But there's going to be a group of people that are watching us. You ever feel like you're being watched? Oh, man, I feel like I'm being watched every day I walk into that plant. Stop. You just feel like you're being watched, right? You feel like you're being watched. And that's okay, because we are being watched. And so that this 300 that are over here, that they can have the faith to believe that they can win too. Now, that's sort of a convoluted way to get around to that point. But I want you to see that just like Gideon's 300-man army put their faith in him and in what he believed and what he said and what he demonstrated, people are looking at us to see what we believe, what we say, what we demonstrate. And if we're constantly looking back at the negatives or even at our past successes, if we're living on future successes or future big events, if we're not living the day-to-day being a good father, a good mother, a good sister, a good brother, a good neighbor, a good friend. You know, being a good friend is as important as the rest. Being a good neighbor is as important as the rest. I know that neighbor, you might have a neighbor, it's not you guys. You might have a neighbor that you don't get along with, because I get along with mine. But sometimes you might have a neighbor you don't. My grandmother had a neighbor she didn't care for when I was growing up. And she was a nice lady. My grandmother was a nice lady. How about if I go over and, no, we don't need her. We don't need her. I don't know what happened. But sometimes you have bad neighbors. Still treat them properly. Still treat them right. Sometimes you have friends that might use you. Sometimes you have friends that might get on your nerves. Treat them right. Right? Okay. So just this last thought on Gideon. I'd like to think that he took the time to listen to those 300 guys. They're in between. Hey, man, did you hear about my day? Did you hear about my sister? She was sick the other day. But did you hear? Guess what happened at work to me today? Guess what happened at our office today? Hey, you know my kid? Man, he is really doing great in this stuff. Do we take the time to just listen to people sometimes? To listen for God speaking to us in that still small voice, sometimes through those things that we don't consider pertinent or important? My wife talks to me all the time, and I don't always listen. See, she'll agree with that. And I need to be better at that. There. I said it in front of the 300. Now it's here. But we all have those areas, right? We all have those areas. Now, I said all that was just a lot of words. A lot of words. Brother Miller, I don't know if it was Lynn or who it was, quoted the other week that Brother Miller said this. Brother Robert Miller, prophet, evangelist, Joyce's dad, they said, life at its longest is short. Life at its longest is short. You don't get more profound than that. Life at its longest is short. Make the most of it. Don't just live for the big events. Don't just live for the big things. Live for the little things too. Live for the in-between. Live for the in-between, because that's where the good stuff's at. You know, the big things are great, but that in-between's where you develop relationship. That in-between's where you can get 300 to follow you into battle against thousands. What did it say about the Midianites? You couldn't even measure. I mean, we got some pretty big, strong guys in here, but I don't know, six of us go up by 1,000. I'm not sure how that'd work out. You got to have God on your side. So, take time. Enjoy the journey. Enjoy the in-between. Don't dwell on the past. Don't continually look out there to the future, but live in the now. Make the most of your in-between. Make the most of your children, your grandchildren, your friends, your neighbors, your spouses. Make the most of your time with God and listen for that still small voice. Because he doesn't always speak in the big, right? Like I said, I'm a shouter. I'm a jumper. It's what I do. It's how I interact with him. I was a rock and roller. Yeah. But that's what I enjoyed before I came to know Christ as my Savior. My idea of a good time was going to a Kiss concert or Aerosmith. That's what I did. And so some of that I carried over, the shouting, the excitement. Because I am so appreciative. Of what he's done for me, where he's brought me from, where he has me at, and where he's taken me. I'm appreciative of this journey that he has me in, and I'm appreciative of the little things. Said last week, I was one of those kids. When I grew up, we didn't hug. We didn't say I love you. We didn't do that stuff. It was just the way we lived. There's a lot of young people like that. There's a lot of people like that that just need shake their hand and tell them you love them. Show appreciation to people. Show appreciation to your loved ones, to your friends, your neighbors. Help them be part of that in-between journey of yours, because it'll fulfill your life. It'll fulfill you. Amen. I want you to know one thing before I stop down here today. Jesus Christ paid a price for us. He loves each and every one of us with everything in him. He laid it all down. You hear people bash on Judas. He paid the price for him too. You know, there's a preacher. It's been out on YouTube. Most of you probably seen this. Maybe you haven't. He's a gentleman from Ireland, I believe, and he's preaching this message. And he's preaching a message about the thief that was on the cross. And the one thief was just railing against Jesus from the one side. And the other thief said, what are you doing? This man's done nothing. We deserve what we've gotten. And he said to Jesus, he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to that thief, today you shall be in paradise. And the way this minister tells the story is he gets to this thief comes to heaven. And he's standing there waiting to get into heaven. And there's an angel there, because Peter's not there yet. And there's an angel there. And the angel said, why are you here? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? I don't know. I don't know why I'm here. And he asked him some more questions. And finally he says, you know, I'm going to have to get my supervisor. So he goes and gets the supervisor angel. And the supervisor angel comes over. He says, why are you here? I don't know. He said, do you know about the Beatitudes? Do you know about, the Romans Road? Do you know all these things? Do you know how to get to God? He said, I don't know none of that. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know any of that. He said, well, how'd you get here? Why are you here? He said, oh, I know. All I know is the man on the middle cross. The man on the middle cross told me I could come. You know what? You don't have to know it. Nothing. Because the man on the middle cross said you could come. He said you could come. And I want you to know this morning that these altars, they're open for you. And you can come up here and you can pray and you can give your heart to Christ. Or you can sit back there and pray and give your heart to Christ. But I want you to know the man on the middle cross, he said you could come. Walk this journey with him. I can guarantee you, I was young, and now I'm older, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Every defeat leads to a victory. Every drop leads to a raise. Every time something would come against you, God will lift you back up. And I can say that beyond a shadow of a doubt, because he, and I'm not just saying this because I'm standing here, he has never failed us. He's never failed us. He's never failed us. So, well, there you go. This altar's open to you today. Pray where you're at. Pray up here. Beth's going to sing a song. Enjoy the in-between. Enjoy that journey. God bless you.